Pastor Sean. If I haven't met you before, I want to welcome you, especially if you're visiting with us. You're like, what did I just walk into today? So we are so glad that you're here. I want to let you know, if you are visiting with us, maybe you've been coming for a few weeks, we're trying something new today, so we got what we're calling the pop-in with Pastor, and if you want to join us right after service, we'll be downstairs for about 30 minutes or so. We got some popcorn pop-in and just a chance to hang out and get to know us a bit. So if you're new or if you've been coming for a few weeks and haven't had a chance to make a personal connection, trying to create some space for you there. So we invite you to join us down there. I'm going to invite you this morning. We're going to get right into the scripture. So I'm going to invite you, if you're able, to go ahead and stand with me. Occasionally we have you stand as we read the scripture. And I will be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 31b, and then we'll be 13 all the way through verse 8. Paul writing to the early Christians in the town of Corinth, I believe God's word for us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31b. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy and it does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Say that with me. Love never fails. And from 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Jesus, we just sang that we're not enough unless you come. So would you meet us here again? Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. God, may your word to us today affect us, challenge us, cause us to consider who we claim that you are, and how we witness that to the world. Spirit, would you speak what is true to each one of us today? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can have a seat. Well, we're starting a new series today, and we're calling it A More Excellent Way, as we just read from the scriptures. And it's this idea, we're hoping to kind of figure out what it looks like to faithfully follow Jesus in an increasingly polarized and politically charged world. Has anybody noticed? Okay. Just want to make sure, not just me, right? And we're hoping to set the stage today and then kind of in the coming weeks be a little more practical in our approach. And so I want to recognize a few things as we get started this morning. The first thing I want to recognize is that politics is a loaded topic. Any amens in the room, all right? Politics is a loaded topic, and we're going to talk about today, right, the things that are rude to talk about at the dinner table, right? And we did this on mental health a few weeks ago at the beginning of the year. Now we're doing it on politics, right? Some of you are wondering, is Sean just like a glutton for punishment or what, right? But hey, we're going to talk about the hard things, okay? And guess what? We're going to do it imperfectly. All right, so I'm asking, as we jump into this series, that we show some grace to one another, right? Because we're gonna do it imperfectly because it's a hard thing to talk about. But we're gonna talk about it because it matters. It matters, right? And politics matter because politics are about people, so we should care, We should care about them. They matter, right? And life is hard. Right? We wish it was black and white, don't you? Right? Don't you wish it was as easy as just being black and white, like yes and no, right? Some of us like to pretend like that's the reality. It's not, right? Life is hard. It's not black and white. And so I'm going to say some hard things, I think. And if you get uncomfortable, believe me, I'm uncomfortable, all right? All right, this is going to be an uncomfortable journey. But guess what? There's no growth in the comfort zone. You don't grow in your comfort zone. All right, so we're going to try to push each other. All right, we're going to try to not push you in the panic zone, because there's no growth in the panic zone either, right? But we're going to make you a little bit uncomfortable, and we're going to try to grow and stretch one another as we go throughout this series. And with loaded topics come loaded emotions. Comes strong opinions. Misunderstandings happen. Hey, and for some people, I think even in the room today, there's difficult experiences that have happened because of this topic. There's difficult experiences behind the emotions and the opinions. I've personally had my faith questioned just for simply exploring a nuance in a certain topic when it comes to politics. I've had family relationships challenged just for having a discussion around some of these things. Maybe you have too. We have experiences that are behind these things. See, as Christians, we're not immune, right? I think all of us in the room, we journeyed through 2020, right? And we're going to have feelings, and we're going to have opinions, and what we do with those things matters. What you do with your feelings, what you do with your opinions matter. And we're going to try to take our cue from Jesus in this whole thing. And today I want to talk to you about why it matters, especially for those who claim to follow Jesus. Let us not forget a crucified and resurrected king. And so how we conduct ourselves as Jesus followers in the world is our clearest witness. How you conduct yourself in your day-to-day living is your clearest witness. Early Christians, these first century Christians, right, they weren't effective because of what they said, but it was because of how differently they lived. Right? They weren't effective because they held signs and marched down the street. Right? They weren't persecuted for that. They were persecuted for how they lived. It was so radically different. And how we conduct ourselves in a polarized and politically charged world matters, because people are hungry for a more excellent way. And Jesus offers a more excellent way. How will they know if you don't demonstrate it? How will they know if we as the church don't demonstrate a more excellent way? So the goal of our series here is to help us faithfully engage in the world we live in as followers of Jesus, not just believers in Jesus, right? We can believe in Jesus and not do the things Jesus did, amen? Right? We've seen that, right? So we want to be both believers and followers, and we want to try to reframe how we see our influence in the world as Christians, to recognize the ways we are being formed or malformed, and not to be co-opted by a way that seems right, but in the end is a betrayal of our fidelity and our allegiance to Jesus and his narrow way. And hopefully, we want to give you some tools to be engaged, because we need to be engaged, but not be obnoxious, right? To be a little less anxious, to be a little less fearful presence in a world that swims in fear and anxiety and either-or thinking. We want to help you be living proof of a more excellent way to a hungry world. A way that is born of the Spirit. A way that is slow but sure. A way that is patient and kind. A way that engages with humility. A way that is unoffendable. A way that is full of grace and truth. a way that when birthed in us through the Holy Spirit, cannot, it will not fail. It is a more excellent way, as Paul has written. See, the good news of the gospel of Jesus is that the resurrection of Jesus has inaugurated a more excellent way. This is not just a kind of a hold tight, hunker down, wait for heaven kind of way. This is not a, well, this is the best of two bad options kind of way. This is not a lions, not lambs, faith over fear, t-shirt rhetoric kind of way. But this is a way of life that is marked by a love that the scripture says cannot fail. Now, we might remember a few years ago, right, in 2020, we faced a crisis. And it was a crisis like I think none of us have maybe ever faced before, this perfect storm of a pandemic and social upheaval and a political circus, right? And we know a thing about crisis. Do you know what crisis does? Crisis reveals. Crisis reveals. If you've ever experienced a crisis in your life, you know that it reveals. It reveals what we truly value. It reveals what is actually most important to us and not what we say is important to us. Crisis peels back the layers and shows us what's really there, and we have to either accept it or not. When life shakes you up, what spills out of you? Is it Jesus or something else? Right, crisis is the great revealer. I love Proverbs 24. I don't have this on the screen, but Proverbs 24 says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Right, crisis shakes us. It shakes us up. It reveals what's inside of us. In 2020, those years revealed a lot of things. And there's a lot of things that I want to say that I'm not going to say about that, but the journey that many pastors around the country went on and how those pastors, many of them are not pastoring anymore because of the wounds and the shots that they took through that period of time. See, the temptation is to abandon the more excellent way for a more preferable way, for a more expedient way. But this then poses a problem for the Jesus follower. See, if we truly believe that what Jesus accomplished through his death and resurrection inaugurates this more excellent way, if we truly believe this, that through what he did in his sacrifice on the cross, through this miraculous resurrection, how he inaugurates this new kingdom where its citizens, with the Holy Spirit's help, live a new creation reality. This is the power of the resurrection, this ushering in of the kingdom of heaven on earth, even now as it is in heaven. And this idea that because of that, our lives are a testimony of a more excellent way, if we allow the Holy Spirit to do that work. Listen to how the Apostle Paul, again to first century Christians in Corinth, right, a Roman town, listen to how he explains this to them. I'm going to kind of walk slowly through this passage here a little bit. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, for Christ's love compels us. This is the core of it. This is that inner motivation. When I peel back all the layers, is it really Christ's love that is compelling me? Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. That what Jesus did on the cross is all sufficient, takes care of all of it. And he died for all, so there's a reason, and he died for all that those who live, you and me, should no longer live for themselves. That's probably enough to chew on right there, right? That we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him, Jesus, who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, because things are different, right? There's a new creation that is ushered in, a new kingdom that has come in because of Christ's resurrection. So everything changes. And Paul says, because of that, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We don't see the world the way everybody else sees the world. There's a different way of living because of the resurrection, how it has changed everything. When we look over the landscape of the world, we see it in a completely different way. We regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once even regarded Christ in this way. Did you know, and we explored this actually in our last series, that they thought Jesus, right, was going to come and rule in the form of David. Right, he was going to take up the throne and rule a national kingdom of Israel. And what did Jesus do? Not that. Right? So they thought this was the way Christ was going to be, but it is not what Jesus did. We once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. It's a different kingdom that he rules. Therefore, because of all that, if anyone is in Christ, you know this, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. If you have given your allegiance to Jesus, if Jesus has your fidelity, then your life is now a witness to new creation. Your life, it becomes a witness to all the truth that Jesus says is true because of his resurrection. Right? We live into this in the present reality, though it's not yet perfect. I don't think anybody would say that the kingdom of God has been made perfect on earth, right? Clearly not, right? But it's present, right? And his people, his followers, are to be witness to this coming kingdom that is already but not yet. And as a witness of new creation, you and me, we no longer take our cues from the world in which we occupy. You follow the way of Jesus. This more excellent way where love compels, where we regard all people in a different way. We regard all people through this lens of love. This is how the citizens of this kingdom operate. And Jesus' followers are citizens of a more excellent way. Check out what Paul says to this Roman outpost in Philippi. Right? Philippi was a retirement town for ex-Roman soldiers. Right? And this is what he says to these early Christians in this space who took a lot of pride in their Roman citizenship. He says this, but our citizenship is in heaven. Something has radically changed because of the resurrection and what this new kingdom being ushered in is about. And we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there is a coming kingdom that is already here, and it's advancing through the church, this collection of spirit-filled, spirit-inspired people seeking to follow Jesus in a more excellent way. And we are witnesses to that which we have tasted but have not yet fully realized. And so we eagerly await. Do you remember what it feels like to eagerly await something? Now, if you think about, like, Christmas, right, when you were a kid, right, and you eagerly awaited that. You eagerly awaited it so much that you went looking for it, right? Looking in the closets, under the bed, right? What if that was the tenor of your faith? What if you went looking for this kingdom of love wherever you went? What if you eagerly anticipated the return of the Lord Jesus Christ so much so that you're like, I got to see it happen right now. I got to be a part of what that is happening right now. We eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that has our full focus. See, if we reduce Jesus and his work simply to the forgiver of sin, we leave the door open for a whole bunch of other allegiances in our lives. And when that happens, we will inevitably live like the power of the resurrection isn't sufficient to overcome the powers of the world. If we think Jesus is just about forgiving my sin, and that's all it was, then we leave the door wide open for us to believe that his resurrection is not good enough to overcome the powers of this world. Maybe my sin, right, but not the principalities and the powers at work in this world. And that's hard. That takes a minute for us to think about, and really what it comes back to, I think, y'all, is that do we really believe that love never fails? Do we really believe that what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection is sufficient enough to overcome all things, that we can actually do what he says and model his pattern? Now, as if I haven't already said some hard things, I want to say some hard things. Right? Kingdom citizenship requires a new way of being in the world, a more excellent way. Y'all, we are witnesses. We are, 2 Corinthians says, we are ambassadors. We know that the word ambassador, right? It's a political term, right? That I go in the name of somebody. Right? I go into the world in the name of Christ. Therefore, how I live, how I conduct myself in the world to the non-Christian is a picture of Jesus. What kind of picture are we painting? Especially when things get crazy. Right? We are ambassadors. We are witnesses. And the problem is we too easily adopt the tactics and the methods of our world, and we rationalize it through comparison. We use the playbook of a broken world rather than the truth of new creation. And this isn't hyperbole. They did it first is not a Christian ethic. They do worse things is not a Christian ethic. They deserve it because is not a Christian ethic. It's not. Christians, Jesus followers, new creation witnesses, citizens of a coming kingdom must be on their guard against the politicizing of Christian practice and values. Listen, y'all, Jesus followers are not a voting bloc. And there's a whole wing out there. There's a whole kind of cultural push that wants to convince you that you're a voting bloc. We're not a voting bloc. When we allow Christian practice to be reduced to a voting block, it ceases to be about following Jesus. It ceases to be about this coming kingdom of God that God is bringing about through the death and resurrection of his son. See, political positions do not equal indication of salvation. I mentioned earlier that back in the 2020 years, I was accused of this. But people that were really close to me, that people that love me, that questioned my commitment to Jesus because I maybe didn't hold a view that they held. But our political positions do not indicate our salvation. We don't find that in the scriptures. Now, there are Christian values. Right, there are ways that we lean to help in human flourishing and to help to love people. So be sure of that, right? But don't buy the lie. Don't reduce the efficacy, right, of the cross and the resurrection to a political preference. It matters, and it matters a lot because people matter. But we can't be reductionistic in our approach. Right, the more excellent way initiated and modeled by Jesus is always an invitation. You see, Jesus had options, right? I mean, he's Lord of the universe, right? He created the world we live in with the word of his mouth, right? So he's got options, right? He is not limited by our world and the physicality of our world. So when he shows up in a manger, not a palace, right? He walks around everywhere, right? He allows himself to be crucified, right? Nobody takes Jesus' life. He gives it, right? He could have gone straight to Rome. He could have been, yo, Augustus, Caesar, listen, I want to talk to you a little bit about this saying that you call yourself the Son of God. Not really going to work because I'm kind of it. And if you wouldn't just mind, I'm going to take that throne and we're gonna run this thing. He could have done it. Sure seems like that would have been the more expedient way in my mind. At least, man, you could have saved us a whole lot of problems, Jesus. Like, this would have been a whole lot easier. He's got options. I think we need to pay attention to the one he chooses. Because it's a pattern for us. How he witnesses to a more excellent way. how he invites us into a way of life, not a party, not a preference, a new kingdom that's breaking in on the world that we get to be witnesses to. Jesus shows us a pattern of this more excellent way for those who would give their allegiance to him. See, I think, my opinion, the more closely you follow Jesus, the more politically homeless you should feel. I think as you get close to Jesus, you should realize more and more, man, this world is not my home. This world is not my home. And Jesus, I need your kingdom to come. I need your kingdom to come through my life. And there, I'm being stretched and pulled in all sorts of different directions. And I don't want to be, I feel my heart. There's an old song that we used to sing. There's a line in there that said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God, be thou my vision, right? Prone to leave the God I love. This exists in all of us. Right, that we're tempted and we're pulled in these different directions. Right? But I think the more closely I follow Jesus, the more politically homeless I should feel. God, there is a radical different way, a radically different way. New creation, new citizenship, new loyalties, a way of being in the world and not of it that has its sights set on an already but not yet kingdom. Established not by laws or political personalities or systems, but by the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. There should be an amen there. Okay. We shouldn't fit too neatly into any particular party because we are citizens of a new creation. We may have leanings one way or the other, and that's okay. But you should be uncomfortable no matter where you land. You should be uncomfortable. If you fit too, hard thing, if you fit too neatly into a specific way, I want to ask you about your followership of Jesus. It should be uncomfortable because we are not citizens of this world if you are a new creation. So you might have one foot in both worlds, right? In both things. You see, there is no political system. There's no ideology at work in the world that has the power to bring about the kingdom of God. Let me say it again. There is no political system. There is no political ideology at work in our world that has the power to bring about the kingdom of God. And for Christians to give their allegiance to any such system is to diminish their new creation reality. It's to say that Jesus, what you did was good, just not good enough for right now. You see, living the more excellent way, I think, is going to require a spirit-filled imagination. It's hard, guys. Like, I know you're all, like, looking at me like, dang, Sean. Like, really? First day here? Like, listen, it's difficult. It's difficult. We need the Spirit to help us see it. I need the Spirit to give me a spirit-filled imagination to see the kingdom of God coming in this world right now, and you do too. We just need it because we can't do it on our own. If we could do it on our own, there would be a political system that would bring it about. But there's not, because God is bringing about through his Spirit, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, so we need his eyes, we need his vision, we need his love in our hearts to help us to see it. Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 17, he tells them, he says, hey, you guys, you're not of the world. And he says, you're in the world, but you're not really of the world. I'm not of the world either. But here's what we're going to do. Just as I was sent to the world, I'm sending you into the world. So this means we got to engage. This means you guys are going to have to engage in this world. You're going to have to be witnesses of this coming kingdom in this world, of this more excellent way. And Jesus prays for them. This is all in this, like, Jesus prayer. And he prays for them in verse 15 of John. It's not on the screen here, but he says this. He says, my prayer is not, God, that you, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Why do we need protection from the evil one as new creation people? as witnesses to this more excellent. Why did the disciples, why did Jesus like, yo, you're gonna need some protection from the evil one. So Father, protect them from the evil one. Why? I think it's because they're gonna be tempted to operate in the same ways that the world around them operates. They've already shown it in various ways as they've journeyed with Jesus. Like, hey, Jesus, can we sit at your right and your left? And Jesus is like, you guys are missing the point. He actually says, not so with you. That's the way the world operates. That's not the way the new kingdom is going to operate. See, we're tempted to use the methods and the means of the world to bring about the kingdom that Jesus inaugurates through the cross, but that's not how his kingdom works, not how citizens of this new creation kingdom conduct themselves in the world. Right? The kingdom Jesus is bringing on earth as it is in heaven is ushered in by love. But it's not just any kind of love. It's a love born of the Spirit in us. That's the only kind of love that never fails. It has to be born of the Spirit. Paul will later talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love. When the Spirit bursts that kind of love in you, that's the kind of love. It's a cross-shaped love. It's a love that's willing to give itself away. This is how the kingdom of God appears in the world. So the question is, in difficult times, do we believe it? Do we believe that love never fails? When it feels like evil is winning, do we believe it? Do we believe that love never fails? When wrong is called right, and right is called wrong, do we believe it? Like, can we be honest? No. No, like, it's so hard, right? We wring our hands and we worry about all these things and we see the decay and the slide of our culture and we think something's got to be done about it. And you're right. The coming kingdom of God is what has to be done about it. And his witnesses, filled with the Holy Spirit love, are called to go out in the world and not fix it, because Jesus is going to fix it, right? But demonstrate a more excellent way. If you spend your life trying to fix it, you are embarking on a failing endeavor. You're not going to fix it. If you could fix it, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. So we're witnesses. We're ambassadors of this more excellent way. And that doesn't mean we're soft. Don't hear that. We engage. And God's love is powerful. And it never fails. And it's really hard. And we live in this tension where we feel like we're getting arrows on both sides. Right, that as you lean into Jesus and you feel more politically homeless, right, and your family members, and you should do something. Well, how could you think that way? How could you not do something about that? Well, I am. I allowed Jesus to transform me. And now I'm allowing his love to live through me in the world. I am a witness. You are a witness. If you claim to be a Jesus follower, you're a witness, like it or not. We're ambassadors of him. So could we live a more excellent way? Could we allow the Spirit to give us a Spirit-filled imagination to help us to be witnesses of this way? Throughout this series, we're going to be reciting the Lord's Prayer together as a way to remind us of our allegiance to Jesus, his already but not yet kingdom, and our dependence upon him for all that is required for us to be faithful witnesses of this more excellent way. I say this gently. You might see this, the Lord's Prayer, as your pledge of allegiance. As we recite this together, as we recite it together over the next couple of weeks, could this be the true fidelity of my heart? I want to walk you through it, and then we're gonna close here in just a minute. Words are important. So Jesus, you know, his disciples come to him and he says, teach us how to pray. And Jesus says, I'll show you how to pray. And it's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, right? So it's right in the middle of all this. This is the way Jesus people, this is what the kingdom looks like in the world. So it lands kind of right in the middle there. And he says this is how you should pray. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our. Y'all, we're in this together. Right? Just before Paul says, let me show you a more excellent way, he is correcting division in the Corinthian church. And he's talking about they are the body of Christ, right? You are not a you, we are a we, right? We are a body, right? And we are a body with Christians all around the world. And so Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is a recognition of worthiness and allegiance. Right, we have a Father who is always with us. This idea of heaven is that he's always with us. He's not like out there somewhere. He's in the heavens. He's all around us. He is with us. Hallowed, holy be your name. You're worthy of our allegiance, not as a law enforcement officer, not as a presidential figure, not even as a benevolent dictator, but as a loving, always present, always in control Father, whom John the writer says is love. God is love, and God doesn't command or demand our allegiance. God woos us. He invites us into this more excellent way, life in the kingdom of love with Jesus on the throne. We have a Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be his name. He is worthy of our allegiance. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's our aim. Right? This is our witness. This is our deepest desire, right? On earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom only comes through God's means. And it's really hard to pray for the kingdom, for God's kingdom to come when we're benefactors of the current one. Right? When we're reaping the benefits of a current kingdom, it's difficult to say, God, I really want your kingdom to come. I kind of like what's going on here. There's got to be some level of discomfort, right, for us to say, God, your kingdom come. And maybe I need to lose some things. Maybe I need to lose some of the kingdom battles of this world so that I can long more for your kingdom that is coming. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. My life is dependent on you, Father. My security is found in you, Father. Everything I need for this day, you have. And you are not a stingy Father. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. My posture towards others is the same as Jesus' posture towards me. Grace, mercy, love. And then finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'd encourage you, don't reduce temptation to simply personal acts of sinful behavior. Right? There is a way of living in the world that feels right, but can be a betrayal of your kingdom citizenship, your fidelity to Jesus. A way of living that acts like what Jesus has accomplished through the resurrection isn't sufficient. Oh, lead us not into temptation, the deception of the evil one to convince us that there's a way to bring about the kingdom of God by our own means. Father, help me not to give in to that temptation, to equate the systems and the methods of this world with the ways and the means of your kingdom that is both already present, but it's not yet in its fullness. I long for it. Help me to live faithfully into that reality. Deliver us from the temptations of the evil one. And we're going to pray this together each week, just as a way to center our hearts back on who deserves our allegiance and the way that we live in the world. You know, we sang that song just before worship, said, I'm not enough unless you come. You got to meet me here again. You're not enough. There's no political system that's enough. There's no candidate that's enough. That doesn't mean it's not important, because it affects people and we want people to flourish. But our aim is different. Our vision is different. It's a more excellent way. And so as we journey this next few weeks together, I want to invite you into a spiritual practice for the series. And we're going to do this alone and together. And a next step for you today of kind of where do you start? And what I want to do is I want to invite you into a season of fasting. Right? Fasting is a counter practice for our disordered desires. Right? It helps us to kind of get our insides straightened and our minds straightened out. And so we're going to invite everybody into a season of fasting in order to pray, in order to discern, in order to draw close to God's heart and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the kind of imagination you need to live into this more excellent way. And we're not going to fast food, so don't freak out, right? What we're asking you to do is harder, right? We're going to ask you, we're going to ask everybody, so this is baseline, right? We're going to ask everybody to fast from all news media on Sundays. So whether you get it from social media, whether you get it from the radio, whether you get it from podcasts, whether you get it from the newspaper, I don't know, maybe you get it from your neighbor, I don't know, right? But we're going to ask everybody, just on Sunday, fast from it. Just cut it out of your life in order to allow the Spirit to give you a Holy Spirit imagination for his kingdom that has already but not yet. And if you're sitting there like, easy, right? Maybe we can stretch you a little bit. Or maybe you know, man, it's just been putting me sideways. And I've been consuming this, and the TV's on all the time, or the radio's on all the time, or I'm posting stupid things on social media, right? Maybe you know. And you're like, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And he's like, man, you're giving your allegiance to a different way. And your witness is not a faithful witness to who Jesus claims to be. And so you need to go a little harder. Right? And maybe for you, maybe you're like, okay, I'm going to do the weekend, right? So Saturday, Sunday, no media, no news media. I have to cut the whole thing out. Maybe for you, you're like, nope, I'm going to do the whole series. It's a 5-week series. Okay, it's going to take us into mid-May, right? Or so, something like that. I can't count, right? But maybe for you, you're like, I'm going to do the whole thing. And for 5 weeks, I'm going to give it up. No news media, no social media, no radio, no wherever you get your news from. And guess what I think will happen? You'll be a different person. Why am I so angry all the time? Why am I so anxious all the time? I bet there's some things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life that if we cut out the noise, he would begin to show you a more excellent way. So can we do that together? Can you join me? I don't know. I'm not going to say, I'm just saying, hey, everybody, let's do Sundays. Everybody, let's do Sundays. And then if you're feeling a different sort of way, then maybe you'll jump in for the whole weekend. Maybe you'll jump in for the whole series. All right? I want to invite you to stand with us today as we pray, prepare to close. I thank you for hearing me today. I think you hear my heart. And my heart is to pastor you in this season. Things are not going to calm down, y'all. All right? The scripture tells us, right? It's going to get crazy and crazier. Right? And we need Jesus to come. And we pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We need your kingdom. And in the meantime, help us to be faithful witnesses of that kingdom. Would you pray with me? God, we recognize again that we're not enough unless you come. Would you meet us here again? God, we recognize that we are witnesses in this world and we have responsibility. God, we need your help to show us how to engage in a way that is faithful to your kingdom. How not to get co-opted by the methods and the means of a fallen world in ways maybe that seem right, that seem expedient or efficient, but they don't help usher in your kingdom. So God, by your Spirit, would you birth the kind of love in us that never fails? Would you help us to believe once again that love never fails, even when it seems like evil is winning, even when people call wrong right and right wrong? God, would you help us to believe that love never fails? God, when it seemed like you had failed, Jesus, when you were on the cross for 3 days, people thought, well, that was a total waste of time. God, you resurrect from the dead. Love never fails. And God, maybe be faithful witnesses to that in our world. So I pray that you'd grow us in this time, in this series, that you'd stretch us. That you'd help us to remember that you are good. And would you take maybe what are dry bones in some of us and breathe new life into them? Give us an imagination, God, that sees a kingdom that is birthed by your love and by your people eagerly expecting your return. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all these things in your name.